And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, I'm going to Dipper number two. It only took us an hour and 20 minutes to get there. 2 hours, 20 minutes. Wow, this show is flying by. But yeah, 2 hours and 20 minutes into the show, Dipper number two, Big Fat Lies. Do I have a phone call on the line? Yay, nay? Okay, we'll put that on the board and I'll get to it momentarily. Big Fat Lies. So here's the thing. You got an interesting dynamic happening. You know, one of the indicators of panic in an election is when their vitriol, their rhetoric, becomes far more accentuated. Like, what do I mean by that? I mean, like, you can hear the panic. You can see it. You can watch what they're doing and go, God, they're lying to the point that it's almost embarrassing. Well, okay. It's gotten so bad that the media is having to run interference by propping up the Harris campaign. Most ridiculous thing we saw in recent days was the situation with Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney, the former Republican, the one who said she's been a Republican for years, maybe not, because what we see now is that Liz Cheney is endorsing a Democrat who stands for everything that she said she didn't stand for all these years. So what that tells me is that Liz Cheney is not someone who actually votes policy. She votes personality. She's mad because mean Trump. That's what it boils down to. What are you voting? Well, I'm voting against Trump. I thought you were a Republican. Well, I am, but I'm voting against Trump. What does that mean? That means I don't like Trump. So mean Trump got to you? Yes, he did. Got her feelings bruised. Little Liz Cheney got her feelings bruised. Going to go vote for Trump. No, can't do it. Got to vote for Harris. All right, so the Federalist has a piece talking about the other day when Trump was talking about Liz Cheney. And, you know, I kind of wish he just laid off. I mean, just stay with the issues. But he's Trump, and he does that thing where he'll talk about the people that dare to talk about him. And so he did. He was with Tucker Carlson, and they were talking about Liz Cheney. And, you know, both Trump and Tucker are both anti having a military that winds up being expeditionary. In other words, we're not deploying constantly. And he was talking about the fact that Liz Cheney and her dad have made a lot of money off of Halliburton, which is a major defense contractor. And he called them war hawks. He said, these war hawks. And he basically said, you know, Liz Cheney has never had to go face the guns. And then I'm quoting a little bit, I'm kind of paraphrasing slightly, but he went on to say that she's never had to face the guns. Maybe she ought to have 9 rifles pointed at her. But instead, she sends tens of thousands of Americans to go stand in for her because she's a war hawk. Okay, next thing you know, here's the press. Trump threatens ex-Representative Liz Cheney with execution by firing squad, said New York Daily News. New York Times is a little more subtle. It said, Trump assails Liz Cheney and imagines guns shooting at her. Washington Post, oh boy. Trump embraces violent rhetoric, suggests Liz Cheney should have guns trained on her face. CNN. Trump says war hawk Liz Cheney should be fired upon in escalation of violent rhetoric against his opponents. Unbelievable. The left was so in bed with the idea of trying to lie about what he said that all it did was really kind of expose them for who they are. Just massively expose them for who they are. Big Fat Lies. How about this one? Kamala Harris got caught. Story here on Woke Spy. Kamala Harris is running different ads in different parts of the country. Did she think we wouldn't notice? So with regards to the war between Israel and Hamas, she's got a problem with Arab voters who do not like the stance that she's taken not trying to bring an end to the fighting in Israel or in the Gaza Strip. And so she's running ads right now that are sympathetic towards Hamas and trying to bring the war to an end as soon as possible in Michigan, where they have a strong Arab American base. And yet in Pennsylvania, where they have a strong Jewish base, she's all about supporting Israel in her ads. It almost sounds as if she's got two different policies. It's you literally look at it and go, lady, you are running and you're flip-flopping at the exact same time. You are saying one thing in Michigan while you seem to say an entirely different thing in Pennsylvania. She's literally said in her ad in Michigan, she will not be silent in her efforts to bring in the suffering of Palestinians. While in Pennsylvania, she says Israel has a right to defend itself. Come on. The lying rhetoric is unbelievable. I got about a minute before I go to the break, and I see I got a call on the line. Let me grab that real quick. Jeff from Decatur. Jeff, what's going on, man?
I just want to call in and see if anybody had mentioned anything about price of ballot box not operating correctly, both of them.
Priceful, no. I have not heard that. Did you vote in Priceful?
Yes, I did. What it is the top part, the automated part where you put your ballot in and it pulls it through. That wasn't working, but they had a little slot that you could slide it in right underneath that.
Okay, so they're keeping the ballot secured in the machine until they can get the counter fixed. Yeah. Is that right?
That's what I'm thinking. That's all that top part does is counts. It don't count the vote, does it? It just counts the ballot.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It tallies different, but it counts as it goes in the slot at the top. So I don't know, man. You're the first one I've heard about Priceful, but I assume that the poll workers have notified the Secretary of State they have a problem. He says both machines.
Yes, sir. There's two of them there. It happened to the people in front of me, about two or three of them, and of course mine went in like that. And I call because of what's happened in the recent past history.
Yeah.
With voting machines, and this is the first time that I have ever seen it happen in Protestant.
Well, I do know this. Every county has a Republican Party chairman who is supposed to be on top of this, and they notify the state party if they see a real issue. I've had to do that myself when I was a county party chairman. More to come on that one, man. But, hey, Jeff, thanks for alerting us to it, but I'm glad you got your vote in. We got to run to a break,
bye-bye,
brother.
Sir.
All right, thank you. All right, we're running to a break. We'll come right back. I'm still in Big Fat Lies in the last half hour. Polls close in a half hour, by the way. Phil Williams, right? Polls close in Georgia in a half hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in, just for good measure. Is there a call on the line? There's not right now. Okay, good. Not good. I like calls, but because I had a text message I wanted to get to real quick. JP from Priceful just texted in regarding the voting machine. Says the Priceful machines are fixed and working properly. The issue was this morning. It has since been resolved. So thank you to our previous caller who called in to say that. And JP has now updated us that we are good to go. And this happens. And by the way, I'll tell you a couple of things that y'all don't often get to see that I didn't know until I became a party chairman for my county. I was a party chairman for 4 years, I think. And every election cycle, you have to do what's called certifying the machines. It's usually the a representative from the local probate judge's office and the circuit clerk, and a representative, hopefully, as the chairman of the local parties. And we go to where the machines are, and they fire up the machines, and they test them, and then they show us how they work, and we sort of get the up and up that they are all good to go, and the machines are now certified for use for the election. Then there's the night of. And they have what's called the tapes. In Alabama, we have the tapes. So every machine actually spits out a tape, like an adding machine would. And the tape tells you how many votes came through, what they were, and those tapes, and then all the ballots that are in them are boxed up. So here's the ballot security piece in Alabama. You go in, you put your ballot in the machine. There will be provisional ballots. They're in envelopes, and they will be boxed up, sealed with tape, and marked accordingly. All the ballots in the machines are taken out, loaded into boxes, taped up, sealed accordingly. And then the tapes come out, and they are also boxed up and sealed and marked accordingly. A sheriff's department member, usually a deputy, will pick up all of the boxes of ballots and tapes from every location and take them straight to the courthouse, where the local probate judge usually has. And I would do it. We'd go down there. We'd have a watch. You'd find out who won before anybody else who found out who won because they're bringing the tapes directly there. And usually what also happens is you can go by and look at your polling site and see. If you wonder how it worked at your polling site, drive back by there after 7. Because once they've done, they'll usually post on the door what the results for that polling station were. So if you're wondering, hey, in Priceville, how did we do? You'll go up there and you'll see a number. And you'll see, you know, winners and losers on the races posted on the door. But the so what we always did in my race, we had sheriff's deputies who were picking up the ballots, but they would also call in. And the sheriff stood there at the and the sheriff had a number sheet, and he would stand there going, "Who's on the line, deputy so and so? What you got? This and this? Okay." And he'd mark down before the deputies even got to the courthouse. I knew what my vote was. And if we had one, like if you have a deputy, if you have a sheriff, I'm sorry, who is not of your party, if you know what I'm saying, if you're a Republican and you got a Democrat sheriff, well, just send your own people out to gather up what's on the door. You'll know. We had a watch party. We literally had a huge watch party. My watch party for the state Senate race in 2014 became the de facto Republican Party watch party. And we actually had a big board up on the wall. We were updating it electronically. It was a digital, you know, we had it shined up on the wall with a camera, a projector, and we were keeping track digitally, and we were inputting as we went, getting phone calls. I had 4 people running computers. I mean, we had a machine, and I was able to announce my victory before they even finished getting the results into the courthouse because we already knew where they were. It's amazing. But what I am trying to portray for you is these machines have problems. The question is whether they're systemic. Now, Alabama has machines that are not supposed to be at all connected to the internet. And that's a big deal. Because the claims that have been made against Dominion voting machines and some of the others that have been is if they have a modem, if they have a hardwire connection to the internet for any reason, they are hackable. And so that has been a thing that I think we have to make sure we get away. Just go back. If you're going to, if you're going to take your paper ballot and have the machine counted, at the very least, use machines that don't have any connectivity to the internet. Why would you? Why does it need to? Well, we might need to be able to wire in the updates for the software. Bull crap. Send out a thumb drive and have them uploaded if you have to, but do not put that machine in a place to be able to, for a second, be hacked. I was doing the lying thing a minute ago, the big fat lie is my dipper here. And I have this interesting article that talks about the fact that the Democrats promoted panic for cash. John Stossel wrote it. You know John Stossel. He's a libertarian for the most part. But John Stossel wrote this piece, and he talked about how panic for cash has been the liberal mantra. They have been doing all that they can to put people in a place where they are panicking, but they raise money off of it. Climate change is the perfect crisis, says one of them. You can attribute anything to it. It's always in the future. And the fund says that climate change increases the number of major hurricanes and all the things. Then you got others like the SPLC, straight out of Montgomery, Alabama, that is doing things that literally kind of embarrass that they're from Alabama, to be honest. But they're creating hate groups left and right, smearing groups like, oh, I don't know, Moms for Liberty and Moms for America and the Family and Freedom Networks. And then you've got things like, oh, I don't know, racial justice activists that claim that somehow or another George Floyd is on every street corner and that what we have to do is defund the police. But they do this panic for cash thing. And the Harris campaign has been doing that on a regular basis. And it's gotten to the point that you look at it and think the big fat lie, that's all they've got left. And then there's this. I don't know if y'all knew this or not. But former President Donald Trump just had to file a lawsuit against CBS News. What? Yes, he did. Good for him. CBS News did their interview with Kamala Harris, and the claim that they presented her in a too positive light has been very interesting. Oh, by the way, they won't release the transcripts. Oh, by the way, they edited it and released a different version. Why? Because it's a big fat lie. But then at the same time, Trump saying, you know what? We're done with this. No. And they just filed suit in the last couple of days. The suit was filed in Texas, and it is very interesting. All right, we're going to do you have a call on the line? What's the deal?
No, but she called in and wanted to let you know that apparently one of her friends who voted in Decatur got a ballot and looked like there was a little dot in the Kamala Harris box, which I've seen actually on X is these little dots in Kamala Harris's box, which very well could show up as a Kamala Harris vote. But apparently when she asked for another ballot, they said that she would have to go to the courthouse and couldn't vote there. So I was wondering
It even says on your ballot, if you look at it, it says, if you mess up your ballot, please ask for another. All right. So listen, people, that's the law. It's printed on the ballot that way. In fact, JP, if you pull up a sample ballot right now, pull up Alabama sample ballot and the actual one that looks like the ballot. If you scroll down and find the language at the bottom, I believe it will say, or maybe at the top, it'll say bubble in. And it'll also say, if you make a mistake on your ballot, ask for another. So that's not a thing. If you have a poll worker who won't give you another one, then just put a big X mark or something on there and say, I accidentally let my pen slip and now I need a new ballot. But there's been a lot of talk about the dots in the Kamala Harris bubble that throws off the machine. At the very least, it doesn't let your vote count. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's the thing that's been making the rounds. Did you find one?
Yeah, I'm trying to. All the lettering is so small; it's hard for me to read on here. But I remember from my ballot, yeah, at the top.
It does say. I saw mine this morning. Said the exact same thing.
Also, too, I wanted to point out Brian from Huntsville sent in a picture of him being a chauffeur on election day, and his car is pretty great. I don't know if he saw that or not.
Brian from Huntsville has a window decal that looks like Trump's riding in the back seat of his car. That's hilarious.
And it's on his little driver doors is deplorable on it.
Birdman just walked into the studio. Birdman, how are you doing? You good?
I'm making.
You gonna make it for the? What do you think of that new studio in there? Did you see it?
Looks awesome.
It does look good, doesn't it? We're gonna have a good time tonight. The crew is arriving, and the lovely Charlene is bringing pizza. We're going to have a good time tonight. Join us for the first ever election night live stream from the brand new, actually it's the first live stream period,
yep.
From the brand new Right Side podcast studio. Live video, it's going to be me, JP, Birdman, and Butters are going to be live in the studio from 7:30 to 9:30, watching results come in, taking in guest calls from people like AG Steve Marshall, U.S. Senator Katie Britt. We've got Chairman of the Republican Party, John Wall, calling in from Mar-a-Lago. And I just got a heads up that we may wind up having Tommy Tuberville, but we're not sure yet.
Packed.
Is there going to be time for you and I to talk? I don't know. More to come on that. Flip from Decatur, by the way, reminds everybody the Priceful machines did stop working at exactly the count of 167 ballots. Seems weird. Why 167? Is that a special number? What does that mean? Am I missing something?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, we also got, hopefully they're back up and working like JP texted earlier.
Oh, he says both machines stopped at exactly 167.
Oh,
now
stopped
that
at
does
the same
seem weird.
Number,
I
yeah.
get it. Okay. Well, all right. Let me know if something happens. William from Huntsville says, could or couldn't be a problem in Alabama, but could invalidate a lot of votes in other states if there's not clear instructions. He said another point you didn't consider in the scanner. In Alabama, you can insert the ballot either way, even if it's double-sided. True. True. Jason from Huntsville says, Phil, I just voted. Please tell me something to assuage my anxiety. I have PTSD from 2020, so I'm twitching uncontrollably. How about this? God is still on his throne, and more Republicans have early voted than we've ever seen in the history of the United States. There's that. Stay in the fight, brother. We're going to get there. All right, listen, I'm taking a break. Last break of the day here on Day of Days. You guys stay tuned. We'll take it all the way to the top. The polls close in the Eastern time zone in 15 minutes. Good. Gosh almighty, let's get there. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.